We're gathering together as a body, one people who has suffered much violence. Our family that has been disillusioned, broken into, torn apart, savagely beaten with the word of God which should make us one, and divided us. We come together with a great hope that now is the gathering in, time when God's harvest is being gathered. You know, I always thought that when God spoke about harvest time, he was thinking of a time when he would reap and destroy the sinners. I know better now. God's harvest time is when you will find your God, when you will come into his garner and into the safe place, the shelter under his wings where he has provided for us. Truly, the harvest time is a time when they gather the tares also. But that will be gathered first, and that will be gathered for fire. But we are not too much concerned with the gathering of tares. We are concerned about the precious wheat. I know that God has sent me here with one specific burden, to get you together. Amen. Hallelujah. We must begin to see our brother and stop seeing our brother's faults. We are not even going to admit faults, because if we all move in the Holy Ghost, we will be free from all our faults, and our brother will also be free. If we haven't got this faith in God, then we might as well quit, because this is the basic faith which you receive when you are a child. You can't see the glory. It's too high for you. It's too much for me to attain to. But I know I'm going to get there, because Jesus said so. If you can believe that for yourself, then believe it for your poor brother or your poor sister, who you seem to see struggling. Some people's contention is that some other people have false doctrine. Well, praise God. All of us had false doctrines at one time. And there is no person here who never did have a false doctrine. The blessing in a false doctrine is that it's false. And nothing false can stand. And the more we go into the light, the falseness is going to drop off. And it doesn't matter, brother, how false the brother's doctrine might be. If he loves the Lord said, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory be to God. Don't you believe God? If you believe God, then we believe our brothers. Look, this is a great secret in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have not seen Jesus because we have not seen our brethren. Tonight I want to speak to you about this revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to see Jesus Christ in you. Yeah. I am not going to see Jesus if I can't see him in you. Because the Jesus is in you, the Jesus in you, or the Christ in you, is the hope of glory for me. Let me put it again and see if you can understand it. The Christ in you is the hope of glory for me. Because it is by the Christ in you that I certify the Christ in me. Amen. Hallelujah. If I alone have Christ in me, then I wouldn't be sure that I really had Christ. But it is the Christ in you, when the Christ in me begins to communicate with the Christ in you, and there is a pulling and a drawing and a lifting, and a glory explodes within me because of the Christ in you. Hallelujah. Therefore, if I continue to cry down my brother, to beat him down, to talk about him, I will be unleashing devils upon him. Do you know that the spoken word still is the most powerful thing in the world? Hallelujah. I better go on with the message. Fast my Bible. Good. Praise the Lord. Let us turn our Bibles to... I don't care whether you heard this before or not. To Revelation chapter 1. Because Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This revelation of Jesus Christ, it definitely signifies that Jesus was not revealed up to this time. The reason why Paul could not have walked into perfection is because Jesus wasn't fully revealed. A lot of things had to happen before Jesus was revealed in the earth. Hallelujah. Last night we talked about divine order. And you can see it on the board, that disorder, Baal. That's the god of the world. The people worship Baalism. You don't call him Baal, no. You might call him a motor car. Or you might call him something down the road there. But it's still Baalism. You're worshiping a world system. Babel, the tower that they're building, the high places. And Babylon, the land of Baal. Amen. And all that means not confusion, as we are told the meaning in the dictionary, but that means rebellion against whom? Against God. So the churches that are carrying on their church business and doing their thing and rebelling against the rulership of God are churches that have set up their own government, and they don't want the government of God. God has turned his back upon the system, and he's starting to speak to people. God wants individuals to surrender to him and make him king, because this is the method by which God is again instituting divine government among humanity. Amen. I'll go slowly if you don't catch up with me. Divine government was taken away from us. The last excretion God made in our realm to have divine government among the people out there was with Israel. But Israel came to a point when they rejected Samuel, say, we do not want you, Samuel. We want to be like the nations round about us. We want a king. Samuel said, my God, they have rejected me. Have I robbed anybody? Have I done anybody any harm? God said, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They are rejecting me, God. Divine government was rejected. And brethren, let me ask you to search your own hearts. If which of you here want divine government? For years, I was afraid of God. Good Christian. Love the Lord with all my heart, but afraid of divine government. God's going to pick me up and send me down to Timbuktu. He's going to send me into some dark corner. I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid for God to take charge of my life. He's going to do this to me and that to me. And I'm afraid, and I wanted to do my thing. Amen. I wanted to be preaching in the best places, have the biggest congregations, doing the great things. And this is in us. This is Babylon. This is rebellion against God's government. So when we talk about getting out of Babylon, you better look about getting Babylon out of you. Some people run and leave their churches and say, that's Babylon, I'm getting out of Babylon. Yeah. Amen. Brother, when you get out of Babylon, make sure that Babylon is got out of you, or else your Babylon will be worse. You know, it will be just a little worse. And I say, brethren, that what God is speaking in this place now is, in effect, he has not got two churches. God would not have one church in that corner and one church in this corner. Something is wrong with either both of them or one of them. Somebody is not being led of God. If we were being led of God, we would pick up church and go over to the other brother's church and say, well, we come to be one with you. We cannot see the division anymore. Said, what about your doctrine? Have you changed your doctrine? Yes, we have changed our doctrine to love. We're just going to love you, and probably they'll soon get rid of you. Cast you out of the synagogue anyhow. Because nobody, none of these church organizations want God to rule. I was down in Tulsa when I left here the last time. On my way down, I got into Tulsa. And there, one brother was put out of his church because he spoke in tongues Sunday morning. And it was a Pentecostal church. But he had no right to speak in tongues before everybody. The trend now of the modern church is to pull the people away. Oh, that's for the secret corner. You must speak in tongues in your closet, in your secret prayer. Blessed be to God Almighty. God made tongues for the church. Amen. And if you don't speak in tongues in the church, how will you know that there is no interpreter? How would you find out that there is no interpreter if you didn't speak? That's as simple as ABC. Tongues must be spoken in the church. When you feel the utterance come, give it forth. If there is no interpreter, you go home and pray. Say, God, help me to interpret when I speak next time. But if you stop tongues from speaking in your church, then your church is not being led of the Lord. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's true. Teaching the commandments of men. God, the Holy Spirit, came into our lives in order that he might lead us. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And we begin with the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, who the first hymn referred to? That's peculiar. No, that would be peculiar. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus. You say it refers to John? Well, okay, let's see if we can make sense out of it then. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. That doesn't make sense. Praise God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Christ, which God gave to Jesus. Jesus had to get a revelation of the Christ. Jesus would have thought that he was the only Christ, he wouldn't have seen a body coming after him. He would have gone. Remember the question he asked God at the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, if it's thy will, I'm going to submit." Jesus had laid aside his divinity and his pre-knowledge. He had lost. He had deliberately laid it down. So therefore, he just knew as much as an ordinary man knew. Except for what he learned in the spirit. So, bless God, he had to go all over again and learn obedience through suffering. Hallelujah. What a glory. God reduced him, his own son, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He reduced him to human understanding, to human realm, to basic human thinking. Took away. Hallelujah. One scripture said he laid aside his divinity. He took away from him the robe of glory. And he came down as an ordinary man, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of Christ in his soul realm, the Holy Ghost in his spirit, and his body as natural as your body. Bless his holy name. So, Jesus, in thinking of the Christ, he had to have a revelation of Christ before he could understand the full import of what the word Christ meant. Of course, you know Christ is Greek. And God didn't say Christ. He said Messiah. So the Jew has a fuller understanding of what Messiah meant. As a matter of fact, there was way down there from Adam an understanding among the ancients that men would suffer and die, saying, "Oh God, when Messiah comes, he'll set me free," and they'll bow their heads and die. I heard of an old Jewish man who was being tortured by Hitler. And he held on and held on, and finally they tortured him, and he felt that his soul was slipping away. He was dying, and he called a young man and he said to him, "Oh," he said, "I wish that I would see Messiah before I die. And now I'm going and I have not seen Messiah." Blessed be to God. He would know how near Messiah was to him. Messiah would never let that man die without revealing himself to him. This is what the Bible said in John. He said, "He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the light." And I bless God for Jesus when I begin to understand the glory, the magnificence of a God that will not allow a sinner to die without giving him one chance of repentance. Hallelujah. I just bless such a God. I see the people drowning in the flood. That cursed Noah. They stoned him. They laughed at him. He was the national joke. Amen. But they couldn't help hearing what he was saying. "Repent," he said. "Repent," he said. "For God shall surely destroy the earth with a flood. Repent." Blessed be to God. Now, you thought the flood was murderous, eh? The flood was the greatest blessing that God gave to those people of that time. Without that flood, without that cataclysmic disaster, there would be no repentance. All Noah's preaching could not move them. God says, "I'm going to move you, and I'll have you anyhow." When first drop of water hit somebody's forehead, he said, "My God, Noah was right." And his nose looked up. water start dropping around. Men run and scream, Father Noah, we believe you. But it was too late. Amen. The floods, the fountains opened up. They couldn't find a way to go to Noah. Noah was in a valley. And he floated first. So instead of people going towards him, they were running from him. Everybody running for the mountains. Blessed be the God Almighty. When this guy said, okay, man, I'm just all right. He's hanging around. He's got his boat in his backyard. He said, I'll just take off when the water comes up. So he and his family jumped in the boat and took off. But lo and behold, so many people were in the water that everybody started jumping in his little boat. They drowned. Then you can imagine water belting the earth. And those of you who have been at sea, you know what I'm talking about? Waves riding 30 feet, 40, 50 feet up in the air. You don't have a hope of swimming in that water. Blessed be to God Almighty, men began to repent. And there was a cry to heaven as water began to gulp down their throats and men began to die hopelessly. They remembered Noah. This is the human, whole human setup, brother. You make a man start dying and his whole life comes before him. He's never been serious before, but he's serious at this moment. Hallelujah. That's the time Jesus comes in. Amen. And any of you here that ever started to die, you will know what I'm talking about. Jesus really appears to you when you are entering through that veil of death. And many were saved in the flood. The scriptures say so. Them who were once disobedient in the time of Noah, many were saved in that flood. And that's the reason why God sent the flood, not to destroy them, but to save some. Hallelujah. I can see through such a God. I can love such a God. I can understand such a God, because he's real. Just wonderful. Bless his holy name. Therefore, Jesus Christ had to have the revelation of God, and he had to have the revelation of the body. If he didn't have the revelation of the body of Christ, he would just break his heart over Israel. For he wept over Israel one day and said, oh, I would just gather you as a hen gathers her brood together, but you won't come to me. Amen. Because the Jews wouldn't come to Jesus, because God had appointed something greater for Jesus. God had told Abraham, he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, not just the Jews. Therefore, there had to be a Jesus. And Jesus had to be rejected by the Jews in order that the Gentiles would receive him. Don't you see? Amen. So therefore, we go on. It says here now, Jesus Christ had a revelation. And this revelation was of the Christ. Now you need a revelation before you can begin to see Christ. Now, as we said last night, Christ will come in three realms. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28 speaks Jesus standing before a crowd, and he said to them, some of you standing here shall not taste of death till ye see the Son of Man come in where? In his kingdom. Then in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17, chapter 17 and verse 20 and 21, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, we see Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, if the kingdom of heaven is within you, and Jesus will be coming in his kingdom, where was he coming? within you. Now, when did Jesus come within man? Turn to John chapter, we still hold Revelation. Turn to John chapter 14 and let us see Jesus coming within man. He says here, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while. He didn't say it was going to be 2,000 years. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, the basic thought here was Jesus preaching to them and saying, it's not going to be long. It's just a little while, and I will be back with you. Now, if we go back into the old law to find out if this thing was written in the tabernacle, we look at the candlestick, and we see a candlestick shaped something like this. And each branch had three seals. A bud and a flower. And we can understand with the revelation of Christ that the candlestick represents the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, but living in the Holy Ghost. And this is what the Holy Ghost has in him. The Holy Ghost is the seed bearer. The Holy Ghost is the masculine of God that inseminates the church with the seed of Christ. Christ must arrive in your soul. I ask you the question, where is your soul? Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your emotions. Your soul is your desires. Your soul is your will. This is the reason why the devil wants to stir up your emotions and get you upset so often. Because if he can keep you upset, he's got your soul. Hallelujah. Jesus, lover of my soul. Where did he love? My mind. He wants to give me the mind of Christ. The world is struggling against the mind of Christ. Every operation in the world is fighting against your mind to get you thinking about the things of this life. That's it. He said, the seed was delivered, but the fowls of the air came down and picked away the seed. As you get the word of God, as you go out there, somebody begin to battle against you. They say, that's a false prophet you've been listening to tonight. You this, that, the other. They keep battling against you. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Women can't manifest in the spirit. Women can't give a message. Women can't preach. Women must keep silent in the church. If you're a woman, you ought to keep silent. But if it's Jesus Christ speaking through you, woe be unto you if you keep silent. We don't want any chatting women. People making confusion. If the scripture that refers to women keeping silent was a scripture which says confusion was in the church, the verse above that said it was confusion. People who are in Christ don't make confusion. Bless his holy name. Woman, talk about woman live. Woman was liberated from in the Garden of Eden. Woman wasn't a slave. Woman was a helpmeet. A part of a man, a complement, mean completion of man. Man is a half, and she was the other half. God took the woman out of the man's side, slit his side, took out the feminine organs out of him, and made a woman. And when he gave him, it said, his flesh of my flesh. That means God had taken out flesh too. Some of you say it's only a rib he took out. Well, you better go back and read that scripture and ask the Lord to explain it to you. Because the whole thing wasn't written. But he didn't just take out a rib, he took out something else. The Bible said in the Hebrew, the curved organs were taken out of the man and put in a woman, thus he separated masculine and feminine. The Bible said it, chapter 5 of Genesis, in the day when God made them, he called their names Adam. So God made two people one time in one body, and then he slit the side. And that is scriptural, because Jesus had to slit his side to get his wife out also. At Calvary. Amen. So there's no problem about that. Be fine. Praise God. The Holy Ghost, therefore, is the symbol of seed and flower, bud and flower, three stages of reproducing, of production. Seed, bud, flower, and then the light comes up on top. And so when the angel went to Mary, the angel gave Mary a message of hope. And oh, she was elated. And she cried, let it be done unto thy servant, O God. And the spirit left. Now, to some of us, it was an anticlimax. They thought that the spirit would just give her the seed of life. He didn't have anything to give her. He couldn't give her any seed but angel seed. She didn't want to bring forth an angel. She wanted to bring forth God. Therefore, God had to give her that seed. For every seed bring forth after its own kind. Angel would bring forth angel. And that can't happen in the human realm. Therefore, God, the author of all life, made the Holy Ghost bring the seed to Mary and inseminated her with Jesus Christ. That was the first coming of Jesus Christ. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be the same way. Except that the woman now is the church. And we see her pregnant in Revelation 12. Amen. What is it to say a church is pregnant? A people pregnant? It means that in your womb, which is your the womb of your spirit, or your spiritual being, is your soul. And within your soul, you are pregnant with a new life. And this new life is taking over your mind. This new life shows your mind to be contrary with the mind of the world. You won't be able to do what the world people want you to do anymore. Amen. So therefore, the mind of Christ taking over your mind, the emotions of God, the will of the Father, and the desires of God will be the perfect change that God's making for you. But this change will come by the growth of a seed within you. Thus Christ must be revealed within you and not out there. Hallelujah! Now, I'm not saying that Jesus isn't coming. But it won't be a revelation to you. For when he shall appear, you shall be like him. And Jesus said, when he comes, will I find faith on earth? And the answer is yes. Jesus cannot come back here until the reason for which he died is fulfilled completely in us. We will be changed before Jesus appears. I don't want to go into the details of that, but if you read that little rainbow book, you can really then show me where I'm wrong in that. That was the message God delivered at Farmer City down at Brother McCoy's house one night, and in the middle of the message, God said, write it. Amen. And he tell me to go to Sister Fran and ask her to tell me what the cover is. And she said, well, I don't know except that I had a vision and I saw Jesus sitting on a rainbow. I said, that's the cover we want. Print the cover. They're the only people who had the computers that could make that cover, and they made it. Amen. The sister, the milk from down Champagne, drew it. One heart. You see body ministry? I want you to see body ministry. Amen. God's not going to just make one man do everything. God said, go to Sister Fran and she'll tell you what the cover is. I went to her and she just had the cover right there in her heart. She had a vision seeing Jesus Christ coming sitting on a rainbow with clouds all around him. So that's where I got the with clouds. He was sitting on a cloud, rainbow. And then he sent me to another sister in the meeting who was an artist, and she drew it. Then he went to the Baptist down in Springfield, and they printed it. But better than that, I don't know which one of you it was, but this is amusing. One night somebody brought $400 to me, a check. And they said, we don't know what this is for. We don't know if it's for a trailer, we don't know what it is for, but God said to give you this $400. And we thought the $400 so sacred that we wouldn't spend it. We wouldn't even change it, we just kept it there. We wouldn't put it in the fund for the trailer. We wouldn't do anything with it. And when they sent from Springfield to tell us the cost of the book, it was $400, and we send the same check, just send the check right now to them. Amen. And praise God, the man said it was 390 anyhow, but the boys, they worked so hard on it that they were worthy of getting a drink with the $10. So they bought the Coke and gave them the share of the $10. So praise be to God, it caused, I want you to see the body ministry. There's nothing so beautiful, nothing so glorious as people moving in the body and in the spirit of the living God and putting aside all the Babylonish plans that we have learned that church is, which church is not. God's ecclesia, his called out ones, are his church, which should be sent. But let me tell you something. Many of us are called, but few are sent. Men, after they are called, they run off without being sent. I don't want to deal with that tonight, but let's go back to this revelation of Jesus Christ. So therefore, Jesus Christ is only going to be revealed inside of you, inside here, when you begin to gain the experience of a greater than you inside of you, governing you. When you begin to submit to that thing, when you're going down the street and you have a peculiar feeling that you should turn the other way and go around the longer, take a longer road rather than a shorter one, and you don't know why, and when you get down the street there, God reveal why. It is being led of the Spirit. There is the Spirit in us. We first of all have got to recognize the Spirit. Some of you are aware of a thing coming to you and say, oh, that's just my mind, you know, it's my mind. It's my mind. You don't believe God. You must believe that it's God, and then if it is you, God will correct you. If you believe God is leading you, God's going to lead you. If you doubt that God is leading you, then you have nowhere to go. You'll be like the waves of the sea up and down, because you're functioning on a doubt. You must function upon faith and belief. You kneel down this morning and said, Jesus, guide all my footsteps. Lead me this day, Lord God. This is my will. This is my desire. I want you to lead me in every way. And as you get up, you feel like doing so and so. And you said, I wonder if it's my mind. You doubt God. You just ask God to lead you. And he starts leading you. And then you start doubting him. What is God going to do with you? Don't you see what I'm saying? Never you pray anything unless you believe it. And if you're going to pray and you said, God, lead me, then when God starts, lead you, go. And when you go, if it's the devil that is deceiving you, it's not your business. No. Because God knows that you believe in God and you just like a child going on jogging. God will stop you if it's the devil. He's not going to let the devil lead you when you think it's God. No, sir. Don't you see what I'm saying? I'm only giving you what experience God has given me. It has happened to me. I believe earnestly that it was God. I used to talk with God face to face. And one morning I was there praying. And lo and behold, somebody came and said, "My son." And he began to talk to me and tell me all wonderful things about other people, though. He was lining me up about every soul in the church who was in sin, what they were doing, how they were bad and wicked and so on. And I felt so good. Oh boy, I'm just going to reveal everybody's life before them. That was ego. Ego. Pride. But I was sick inside and I didn't know. And while I jumped up, man, and grabbed a pencil to get all my notes down, and I heard like the whole room explode, and God said, "Satan, you are a liar from the beginning." Man, that thing hit me in here. I didn't want to hear God anymore. I was so ashamed. I said, "No, God, how you allow the devil to do this with me?" God said, "If you didn't have some devil in you, how could you have sat down and fellowship with the devil so long? And something in you didn't rise up. You see, the devil was only working on what you had in you." Oh, it hurt me. It hurt me so badly. But I missed the point. Because I didn't see that God came in and saved me. He saved me from a grave error. And then I made another error. Boy, I tell you, well, God trains us, but Lord, it was terrible. I wasn't smart enough to know that the devil was going to use reverse psychology now on me. I had got him, you know. Now that God had told me it was the devil, I was going to run down to church now and, you know, just tell them this wonderful story. And I was playing right into the trap of the devil, and the Lord again sat down and watched me go. And when I ran down there, the prophet ran out to meet me. She said, "Elder, Elder," she said. "Oh, God spoke to me. God gave me such a message for you." What was the message? Verbatim, word for word, what the devil told me. Could you stand up and listen to that? Brother Jerry, what would you do? Oh, brother, I tell you, you would do just like I did. I fell right into the devil's hand. I said, "No, no, sister, it's the devil." And by the time I said it, I knew I was wrong. I should have kept it and coaxed her. You know what the devil told her? He said, "He's going to say it's the devil." He said he's going to say that it's the devil. But he's saying so because he's departing from God. And my, it was horrible. When I said it was the devil, she drew away from me like I had leprosy. And she said to me, "God told me so. He told me you were going to say it's the devil." And I said, "Oh no, sister." And she said, "I don't want to have a word with you." I said, "I know you are departed from God already." And man, she, you see, and it just wrecked that church, tore that church up to pieces. For she was sure it was God. And the devil kept leading her on. And man, she just blasted that church to pieces. And all the prophets got her words, begin to get words, the same. They all just fell down with her. And all the prophets in the church began to get the evil word. And they begin to cut off and destroy the church. Praise be to God. One little wisdom could have saved them. But bless God, let's go back to it. Jesus Christ had this revelation which I am showing you. And Jesus Christ came and showed this revelation to John. And this revelation first begins with the seed being planted in the church. So let us read verse 22. Judas said unto him, John 14, verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now Judas was asking the same question that many of us here would ask. It was a natural, normal question. How is it, two of us sitting together, Jesus will come to me and don't come to you? Jesus will come to you and don't come to your sister. How is it going to be done? Now, listen how. He said, all right, verse 23. Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, all these people who you hear say, oh, I love the Lord. I just love the Lord with all my heart. You don't take that. If you see them keeping the word of God, you know they love the Lord. Because the word of God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. The word of God shows that you can't love the Lord if you don't love your fellow man. Because he said you don't see the Lord, but you see your fellow man. So if you really love the Lord, you're going to love that man. And if you see people walking outside of love, don't believe them that they love the Lord. They're not being led of the Lord. This is the basic point. Now, he says, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Or you could put that to be within him. Within him. Now, what is he talking about? Does it mean that God doesn't love some people? Because he said, my Father will love. No, that's not what it means. That word love there could be translated delight in him. See, so the Lord loves everybody, but he delights in certain people. Yes. So, this is the order. So the coming of God to live inside of you is the ultimate. This is the coming of Jesus Christ within the human realm. How else is Jesus going to come within the human realm unless he comes within his people? How did he come within the human realm first? He found one virgin that he could come in, and that brought him here. Now he's finding a people who he can come in, and that again is going to bring him here. Hallelujah. Look, brethren, Jesus is here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
He's here in more than one way. Amen. Because Jesus is in you and Jesus is in me. So he's here in us, but he's here in another way. He said he'll be here as one of our brethren every time we meet together. He said, I am with you always. Remember, brethren, he wasn't within those brethren. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. And the only time Jesus came within people is when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus is within the Holy Ghost, the seed. The Spirit of God is not divided. So Jesus said, I am in him and he is in me. So the Holy Ghost too has Jesus in him and the Father in him. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive Jesus and the Father. Yet the manifestation will only be by the Holy Spirit. Then when you obey the Holy Spirit, there is a revelation in you of Jesus Christ. Is it too much for you to understand? No, sir, praise God. Spirit of God, just fall on us and let us get to him. Bless his holy name. So here you are, you find Jesus explaining to Judas how Jesus would come to one person, not to the other. So at Pentecost, Jesus came to 120 people one time, and the rest of the world didn't know about it. When they came, 3,000 souls were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus came in 3,000 more. There was an explosion. Next day, 5,000 were saved. My, 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 and that whole city began to explode at its seams. Men began to rush forth. They didn't have Peter saying, well, we'll have a Tuesday night meeting, and we'll have a Monday night meeting, and we'll have a Thursday night meeting, and so on, so. And he said, well, you know, brethren, don't go and mix with those Pharisees over there, and you don't. Man, there was an explosion. Sparks flew all over Jerusalem. And in a few days, there were meetings in every house. Brethren were being led of the Spirit. They couldn't meet together in one place. There was no place big enough to keep churches. But they were meeting everywhere, and there was no end to church. It was going on morning, noon, and night. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God Almighty. I look forward for an explosion in Peoria that the Lord God. Breaking down the barriers and a breaking forth, that men and women will stop seeing themselves and their little wretched denominations, their church groups, and calling themselves church. Only one church God has got. And I want to see that church moving like a mighty army. Hallelujah. We'll not be satisfied until we see men and women loving other people as they love themselves. And not feeling we are an exclusive group. We are better than these, and we're greater than these, and so on. But just moving in the name of the Lord God through every barrier that they put up. Walking over their fences, and don't regard their denominational fences. Don't regard it. Hallelujah. For that is Babylon. Fences were built by Babylon. That's where the fence business started. Let's go back to Revelation. To Revelation. Praise the Lord.
Well, I think I'm having visions of a tent someplace this summer, and I have different ones to fall now. And so I heard you say about having a vision of seeing a tent and all these charismatic movement and the children and youth and everybody coming in and just praising the Lord. So I talked to a man tonight, and he's telling me, and he says, well, let's put it over. He says, I have plenty of time. He says, I'll look to see where we can get a place to put a tent and go down to Fury Tent and Awning or somewhere and see who will put it up for us. I says, go ahead. So I'm telling the rest of
it. Praise God.
Everybody will come in here and work for and praise the Lord for 2 full weeks. Maybe we'll even go home.
Amen. Well, praise God. We want the first basis and principle on which this thing is to move. Is that you begin to see correctly. We have been seen incorrectly. We have been seeing the different groups and the different organizations, and we have been looking to these organizations for life. You begin to look to the Jesus within you for life. You begin to meet together, one with another, give them life. You have no concern to want to control the lives of the other brethren. Because this is what the Pope was doing. This is what the little popes are doing. Because some people say they're getting out of the Pope's realm, and they go over and they turn themselves into a little Pope. Which is worse than the big Pope. Yeah. The big Pope understands his business better. But the little popes all around here, every church has a Pope. They call it by a different name, but it's the same. They try to exercise the same authority that the Pope has. They pretend to have the authority of life and death. And I'm saying, brother, if the Pope is wrong, they are doubly wrong. For they said the Pope is wrong, and yet they go and become popes themselves. And deep down in their heart, they would give anything for the Pope's job. Praise be to God. We go back to Revelation. Hallelujah. Yes. And he says, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now this here tells us that Jesus Christ is coming in a different way from the one that told us in Matthew 16 and 28. Come on, let's see. Matthew 16 and 28 says, some of you standing here shall not see death till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now Jesus in John 14 spoke of a coming within his kingdom, wherein the world would not know about it. But ye shall see me. The world shall not see me, but ye shall see me. So that's the secret coming of Jesus Christ. And then when did he start to come? At Pentecost. Don't you see that the word coming doesn't mean come? It means coming. He's coming. He's still coming now. He's coming. Within me, he's coming. He's coming within the world. And it's a coming nearer and nearer and nearer till he breaks forth. Don't you understand what I'm talking about now? I'm talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, that he started coming. He started his coming, his descent to earth realm, to take up his position in the church, in the body of Christ. He started this thing at Pentecost, and it's still going on. And we are at the end of his coming now, when he shall appear. But it's because he said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And he will not appear until the restitution of all things. You remember that scripture? Do you want to look it up, or you want, you know, dealing with some groups, if you don't show them the scriptures, you just don't get anywhere with them. So you turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 20-21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive or retain. This word receive here is retain. Until the times of the restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. You see, so Jesus Christ will not come back until all things are restored to their proper places. For this is what he died for. And the blood shall bring forth this deliverance in our time. Then shall Jesus appear. Now, let's go on a little further. We see here, verse 7, that this coming here is a coming where people will be mourning and crying. This is a judgment coming. Amen. This is not the coming within the kingdom. This is a coming without, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of God and his Christ, after the battle of Armageddon, when the sons of God defeat the devil himself and overcome the world and hell and all that hell could throw at us, we overcome it. I'm going to show you that in the same chapter. Then Jesus will come as king. Jesus is not coming down here to come fight. The Christ in you is going to overcome this world. Christ in you is going to break forth in this world and really put them down. And then our king comes. Isn't that something? The army fights, and then the king comes and occupies the throne. Yes, ma'am.
Well, the more that is filled with the Holy Spirit, then the sooner he'll come.
Not the more that is filled. It's not the quantity. It's the quality. Any time. Watch it now. Suppose I should break forth in the fullness of the Spirit now and become like Jesus, immortal. What would I do first? The first thing I would do is turn around and say, Jesus Christ, deliver every child of God on earth today. Boom. Because you once you become perfect and you break through, that's what you would do. Therefore, God is preparing our people to break through. That's the first fruits, and they're going to ripe up the rest of the harvest. Amen. Now, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know the story, how they put him in a big pot and they boil him. And they thought, well, he's well cooked now and all his flesh has dropped off. And they're just going to take up a bag of bones and flesh. And John stood up in the pot. And I believe he preached to them. Men were shocked, for the pot was a pot of hot boiling oil. And John stood up in the pot. And so they couldn't manage him and they were afraid of him. So they sent him off to a barren island where there was no food, no water. And they left him there to die. And that's where God wanted him. And so Jesus, this is the story that he's telling here. He said he was on the isle. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it on to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candles. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He did not see a man, he saw the church. Let me see if I can draw a little thing here of what John saw. When he looked behind him, this is what he saw. The seven golden candles. That's what he saw. And then he said, in the middle candlestick, there was the semblance of a man. Right down to his feet. Let's read the rest of it. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. He is head and his hair. Now this is important to see what he saw. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Amen. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his voice as the sound of many waters. What did John see? John saw the whole church with Jesus Christ standing in the middle. And the head was matured, white as wool, full grown son. Hallelujah. Come to absolute perfection. And Jesus Christ is that head. And the eyes were like a flame of fire. And the voice, he said, was like the voice of many waters. Many people were talking out of the one mouth, like a great thunderous voice. The church he saw. Amen. And the feet, you know who are the feet? We in these last days who are going to walk through the tribulation. He saw it in a furnace of fire. He said he tread through the winepress of the wrath of God alone. We are the feet who must walk through the fire of the tribulation like the Hebrew children walking in the fire and not be burnt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Said to the angel of the church of Sardis, that's the star. Brethren, I cannot help but believe that every time I see star in the scripture, it means some son of God. Hallelujah. He said seven stars in his right hand. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that the church will arise in such power that she will be like the sun shining in its strength. Amen. The light will be so glorious. In the 17th chapter of St. John, Jesus Christ praying to God, he said, Father, I think it's verse 5, somewhere there, said, give them the glory which we have from the beginning. Now, which glory did Jesus and the Father have from the beginning? Jesus and the Father got together and said, let us make man. What do you think they saw when they said, let us make man? A barbarian hiding in a rock hole, or clubbing down somebody, or fighting with an animal to get food to eat? Or a modern man stretching off to his office? You think that's what God saw? God saw a glorious creature filled with all the power and the might and the love of God, walking in the end time, overcoming sin and the devil and all negative things, putting them on the foot once and for all, and holding them dear throughout eternity, so that sin will never rise again while one man lives. Don't you understand what God saw? God saw a controller, one that will control sin forever, that the incidence of sin will never rise again. Neither will there ever be a devil anymore. Neither will there ever be a sinner anymore, for we shall bring forth in righteousness. And people all of God's realm, this is what God saw. Jesus said, give it to them, Lord. Give them the glory and the crown and the honor which we had from the beginning, before the world was. Before we made them what we had planned, let's bring it forth. Hallelujah. And brethren, all that is embodied in your Holy Ghost, which you have in you. Isn't this a shame that we still live so normal and we have all the glory of God encased inside of us? We need a release. You talk about you want a refilling. You don't want a refilling. You want a release of what you have inside. You want to let God go. Amen. It would pay you just to lie down sometimes quietly and say, loosen me, God. Just take your way. Then he begin to bring little barriers before you. What? Would you want me to take this away? Yes, Lord. Even John. Even Tom. You know? Because sometimes people are barriers to us in our hearts. We think of people in such a way that if they say so, we couldn't go with God. Amen. I want you to see that we have an obligation in this hour to break through. Because the devil is going to turn this place into a hell. Watergate is child's play to what's happening down here. What's going to happen? This is only the beginning. Amen. The only the beginning. It's a peculiar thing that it should have such a name, Watergate. Amen. God spoke him. God spoke down in, you know Watergate is in the Bible. They gathered together at the Watergate to read the law. Blessed be to God Almighty. God spoke in Ezekiel chapter 47 of opening the Watergate, the floodgate, and letting loose the flood that is in the human spirit. And instead it's going to flood the whole earth and overcome everything on earth. My God! Can you see such a glory? That a river will flow. A river will flow when we sing, there is a river that flows from deep within. What are you talking about? That song is just right on target. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a river that cleanses the soul from sin. The same cleansing force that you have in you is going to overcome the world one day. Amen. Not a faraway day, but this day. This is our day. This is the sixth day when God made man. And this is the end of the sixth day, and the beast is to be made and man is to be made. And man and beast going to meet face to face. St. George and the dragon. You have that kind of mythology here, this British mythology story which we have about St. George fighting the dragon. It is an allegory. Did you know that? It has a meaning. It means that the cataclysmic confrontation between the sons of God and the dragon with seven heads and ten horns. The world system is going to come head on with the sons of God and be defeated. Stone cut out of the mouth, there's the mountain without hands. Mountain means earth, man. You and I, we are out of the Mount Zion. Children of Mount Zion, cut out of the mountain, rolling down into Babylon and striking the enemy. Glory to God. Bringing down the Babylonian system. By spirit power, sword proceeded out of the mouth. Bless God. May God bless us that I'll be able to speak to you about the power of the spoken word and get you people to begin to speak what you want. Speak it into existence. Don't confess weakness. Never you confess a weakness. Never you pray in a weakness. You feel the pain rocking through your body. Don't confess it. Hallelujah. Amen. And as you start confessing, the truth, it begins to form your leg right here before you. You don't see it, you don't hear it, but you don't want to see it, you don't want to feel it, you don't want to hear it, but you know it's there. I have overcome the world. You are being beaten, brother. The devil have you under his heel and grinding the life out of you. Thank you, Jesus. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah! Devil said, what are you talking about? I got your neck in the vice here. You talk about you. Thank you, Jesus. I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. I have all things. Thank you, Jesus. I lack nothing. Thank you, Jesus. I have the power. Thank you, Jesus. I have the glory. Thank you, Jesus. I have the victory. The devil is grinding the life out of you. Thank you, Jesus. I have overcome the devil. Then you know what happens? When you do that, the angels of God rush in with their mighty sword. Hallelujah. The sword came out of your mouth. Glory to God in high. Never confess defeat. You will turn defeat into victory if you confess victory. For the angels of God which encamp round about you cannot work on defeat. They can only work on victory. Don't you understand that you create what you want by the word of your mouth? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to see it. You don't have to feel it. You just failed. Because you failed, you got an opportunity that the man who never failed doesn't have. What is it? The opportunity to overcome. Because you have been knocked down, you have an opportunity to get up. The man who never was knocked down never had an opportunity. Turn up. Amen. So in the midst of your defeat, there is a way of victory. That you can snatch victory out of the hand of the enemy by realizing that you are not going to rise by your power. You are not going to overcome the devil by your power. You are not going to stand by your power. You will do nothing by your power. And this puts you into a position of power. This is why Paul said, in my weakness I am strong. Amen. If the moment you realize that you have no strength, that's your strongest point. For you know that Jesus Christ is your strength. Then when you begin to see Jesus as your strength, you begin to confess it. Jesus, I am strong. Amen. Jesus, I have overcome the devil. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. You're hurting all over. You don't feel that. You don't see it. You don't have to see it or feel it. Because seeing and feeling is in this world. Knowing is in the other world. And you are going to draw the victory that is in the other world into your world. That you might be able to see the victory which is already yours. Don't you see what I'm talking about? It's there. You have won. You have overcome the devil. You have destroyed him. You have, but it's all over there. There are three realms of consciousness. We have the realm of the spirit, the realm of the soul, and the realm of the body, or earth realm. The realm of heaven, the realm of man, and the realm of earth. Now, we need to pull victory out of this realm into that realm. But it has to come through this realm. So when you ask God for a healing, you have got a healing. You don't have to see a healing to know that you get it. It's yours. You are healed. Hallelujah. So when you ask God for a healing, you have got a healing. Why have you got a healing? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Easy to remember. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. Says, for every man that asketh receiveth, and to him that knocketh it is opened. You don't have to go around doubting God. You ask God for something, you get it. Now, you have got to find transportation to bring the thing from where it is to you. I told them the beautiful story of the trailer. The last time I was here, sisters and brethren begin to see visions that I had a trailer pulling behind a car. I did not want a trailer. I wanted a motor home for driving down the street. When I reached a Tulsa, Oklahoma, a brother from one of the brothers with Oral Roberts offered me a motor home for a price that I couldn't get it anywhere in the United States. And boy, I was all ready to buy it. I called Brother Nene. I said, Brother Nene, something's happened down here. God has just anointed this man to give me. But before that, when I reached Decatur, I got an offer in Decatur, and I called Brother Nene. And when I reached Oklahoma, I got a better offer. So I see something was wrong. You know, so something was wrong because I got this man just fell in love with me and gave me an offer. He was only making $400 profit. And I checked all around and it was true. When I went down to Oklahoma, this brother was giving me and making a lot to give me the motorhome. Said, well, if that one was of God, this one is more of God. There's something wrong. So Mavis said, no, she said, don't touch it. Man, I hate to drop a good bargain, you know. But I came to it after struggling with myself, you know. I came to it that I should just drop it. So I said to the brother, I said, brother, I am going to California, and in California they are going to give me the money to pay for this motorhome. So when I reach California, I called to Brother Nenny and asked him to send the money for me that the brethren had put together, and I'm going to get the motorhome. But Mavis said that if God's giving us something, he's going to give us without owing anything. And Brother Nenny said the same thing. Now, it is good to have body ministry, brethren. I'm telling you, you preach a thing and you will find a way to go against the very thing you preach. You believe me, I would have credited that without the slightest doubt, because I know God would pay for it. But you see, I would be using God another way. God would pay for it. But I would be forcing God. Yeah, I had the privilege of crediting it and make God pay for it. And he would. But I was telling God what I want. But I found this double-mindedness that I didn't know whether I really wanted a trailer or a motorhome. And this double-mindedness went as far as California with me. And when I went to California, one sister said to me, said, brother, the Lord said I must give you that property down in Palm Desert Green. Palm Springs, you know what it is over there. And it was valued $16,000. And she wrote up the papers and gave me this land for $16,000 with an equity of $9,000 in it to buy this motorhome. I said, okay, now all I've got to do is to sell this property. In the meantime, while I am putting monies together, got the money there and ready, God said, give away the money. I said, Lord, what the brethren in Illinois are going to say when I come and tell them that I give away the money? God said, give away the money. I gave the $1,500 to a brother. And he ran off and got the motorhome that I should get in Tulsa. Because he needed it. It's his family. He's one of our brethren. He'll be here in a few months coming from Canada. He's going to stop here. And praise be to God, he's a precious brother with a beautiful teaching ministry. And so I was left adrift now, so I was ready to come home. I said, well, I'm quitting, I'm coming home, back, you know, shamefaced. I didn't get my motor home, I didn't get anything, but I'm coming. But I told this other brother who gave me the property, I said, brother, my car belongs to you. He has no car. I said, God is going to give you my car. And so, to cut a long story short, the day before I left, I decided to leave. A man called me on the phone, said the Lord told him to give me his car and a trailer. So I said, praise God. I just hardly know the man. I came in one day and said hello. And so the man called me in next day, gave me the car, took me down to the trailer place, and there was one trailer left with the gold in interior. And I look at the trailer, I said, this is the one. The $3,175. Air conditioner, $325. He said, put on the air conditioner, and put on the hitch and everything else. And he paid $200 to put on the hitch and just paid for everything and handed me the papers. And it humbles me, really. And I love the body ministry, brethren. We have been missing a lot, too many things we have been missing. So many of us feel that we want to be the boss. If you had just relaxed and let that body function, you would see the glory, that the blessing and the joy and the deliverance that would be in Zion. And this is what the devil is fighting against, our unity. Satan is fighting to stop us from being one. And I'm begging you, brethren, in the name of Jesus Christ, this might be your last opportunity to be one. Throw away all the reasons for division and come together and humble yourself before your brother, no matter how wrong he is. And become one. There must be a divine order, body impure and moving in the spirit, so that God can send his people for deliverance, so that you will be the hope of every church around here. Don't you understand what I'm talking about? You won't even keep your meetings on church hours. You'll keep your meeting off hours, so that your people can get to go in the church to bless people. This is what God is saying to a people who he does not want to form another denomination, but he wants you to bless those people in the denomination and deliver them from the bondage which is upon them. And then you work in divine order so that the Spirit of God will bring forth his design in this place. God bless you. So, we see the glory comes in the Spirit. Your spirit filled with the Holy Ghost, you have all the glory of God in you. The whole of heaven, all the power of the angels is in you. Jesus Christ said, I could call
10,000
angels. Did he say 10,000? There he said 12 legions of angels. You know what 12 legions of angels is? That's one legion. You see, 12. That's what 12 legions of angels is. And any one of those could destroy the whole earth. So Jesus Christ is saying that of himself. He's saying that of you. When you have the Holy Ghost in you, you have legions of angels under your command in righteousness and in holiness. Don't get frightened. You're not a general yet. You've got to grow up. Amen. Yes, out of his mouth came the two-edged sword, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And when I saw him, I fell. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. You know what he saw? He saw the whole head and the whole body. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the body. We have the head already raised. There's a neck here, and the body. This is the earth. The head has already gone up into a resurrection. Next will come the shoulder. He said the government will be upon his shoulder. So the strength, you remember what the priest used to do with the shoulder? Can anybody remember what happened to the shoulder? That was the priest's portion. Amen? The priest's portion was the right shoulder of the animal. That showed that the strength and the power of that animal lie in the shoulder, and that's the part the priest eats. The 144,000 brethren, the first fruit company, is described in that passage as the shoulder. Understand that? Now I'm going to prove something to you, and then I'll close. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Deadline. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we see verse 20. Going down to 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Who is Christ? Christ is a many-membered body. You know what somebody said Christ is? A many-membered head. That error. Christ is a many-membered body with a head named Jesus. Never put down Jesus. You know the spirit of Antichrist, because the spirit of Antichrist is always belittling Jesus. Some end time brethren are belittling Jesus, saying that Jesus won't come back here. They say that he's just like any one of us. He's just one of our brothers. Jesus is our head. Jesus is the husband of the church. Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ rose first, and the shoulders will come after him, and then we will have a resurrection. And this resurrection will pull forth the whole body out. Hallelujah. Let us read it in here. It's right here. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But, you hear the but? I wonder if you could mark that but there. Amen. Look, you see that but there is very, very significant. Because it's saying, all are going to be made alive. But, not one time. Every man in his own order. Hallelujah. What is the order? The order is Christ, the first fruits. Christ, the first fruits. Why fruits? Because the resurrection of Christ has already begun. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we also who are in Christ will also rise. So Jesus raised first, and the body of Christ raised first. Then all those people who belong to us will come forth next. Let's look at it. Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming, those that belong to him will rise next. And brethren, I'm giving you a beautiful story, and may God bless it to your hearts that you believe it and understand it. We are going to have resurrection for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years we'll be claiming humanity, all them that belong to Christ. Our ministry will be a different ministry. That will be the man-child ministry. We will be claiming humanity. Everything that belonged to Christ will be delivered in the millennium. And the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Now, for some of us, we never heard this message before. So we will go on with Paul a little more so that you can understand that this is not error. This is not false doctrine.